help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 154, the stanza 1 and 2. O God, be merciful to me, my soul for refuge comes to thee. 1 and 2, 154. Reading of the Holy Scriptures, we continue in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 12 through the end. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 12 through the end, before we listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Romans 6, starting at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let's seek to pray the Lord in prayer. Lord, it seems to be a difficult chapter. And all things that are not ours are always difficult. But thou hast said thou wilt make it that even children will hear and obey. And out of the mouth of sucklings thou hast strength ordained. And therefore we are not too young nor too old. Time is now. If I need thee, Lord, to apply it to our hearts, we may know the truth. Like that plant circling around the stem. But, O Lord, give us that true saving faith to be made one with thee. And in thee a new creature. ready for the warfare. Lord, remember the sick and afflicted, the weak, and those who can't come or don't want to come. Please bless them where they are. Thou hast more arrows than the arrow on Sunday morning by preaching, and more oil than the oil is dripping of thy Spirit in the souls of thy people, on the Sabbath day especially, sanctified for that purpose. We confess that we are not worthy of any of thy blessings, Lord. If we look to our lives, how many things are testifying against us. But if thou art for us, who will be against us? Nor devil, nor man, nor demons, even not my own sinful flesh, can condemn me. Have mercy upon us, Lord, and open the Scriptures unto us. Please remember the world around us. The Jews are again persecuted, discriminated, like from the first to the last. They have to flee Europe, and now even in the United States, although it's always been a friend of that old covenant people, words are hurt to hate them. But I pray, Lord, that thou would bring them to the sure knowledge of thy dear Son. That's just the fingertip of thee, that they might see and sorrow and believe. But we need the same. Those who adhere to that Muslim faith need the same, the heathens. Those of all kinds of gods, especially in this world, this apostate world from religion. Lord, thou mightest be glorified by conversions. It's thy honor. It's thy good pleasure. It's thy strength and loving kindness. It's thy mercy. We are in need of mercy. We have sung it already. Thou hast made our problems thy care, our needs thy care. Please, Lord, confirm it to our souls this morning. For the first time or another time, remember the congregation and those who are gone to have some rest here or there. Give them truly rest. It's only to be found in thee. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord, we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. Congregation, in earlier times when people came to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, there was always an exhortation. Do you know what they said? When people truly confessed their faith, do you know what they said to them? Welcome in the warfare. Welcome in the warfare. You will be a Christian. Welcome into warfare. It's a battleground. But the Lord Jesus says, and his word is by the Spirit, we are more than conquerors, more than victorious in him, not in ourselves. We lose every fight, every battle. But he has won the battle. And God's people is more than victorious. More than victorious in him, in him. That's the gospel. That's grace. We'll deal this morning with the battle or the warfare of a Christian. These last text verses of Romans 6. I even was tempted this week to stop preaching Romans. I thought, my little children, how difficult sometimes those doctrinal preachings. But the Lord urged me to continue. He said, it's my word. Preach my word. In season and out of season. And I'll bless it. in due time. So we continue Romans 6, verse 12. And we'll see what the Bible teaches. In the first place, I didn't say it in vain or without a purpose that's welcome in the warfare. Because if you look to verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments, says the King James Version. But I took the Dutch version for me, the Statenvertaling. And there it says, and don't use them for weapons. Hopla, that's really a weapon. And a weapon is for the fight, for the battle. So neither yield your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness unto God. There you have the battle. There's another text, and then you see that it's ended even with it. For the wages of sin is death. You know what wages of sin is? That's the payment of a soldier. The wages of death. That's the payment of a soldier. So it has to do with the battleground, warfare. I remember when I was in the army, then we had to stand in line to get a payment. A little back, and then we went home. A little payment. That's the wages. Soldiers get wages. The wages for a soldier who serves the law is death. But in grace is no wages. That's all free. That's free. Isn't it? Read it. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the Dorian, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's not a work. That's a gift. Or the work of the Lord Jesus as the victorious victor in the battle for the Christians in this life. Let's first think, congregation, again, 71, 1 through 4, 71, 1 through 4. Jehovah is my light and my salvation, and we have sung it many times, I know, but let's sing it again, for it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last time we closed with verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, the apostle has said, if you're dead unto sin, you're justified. You can't sin anymore. If you're dead, you can't sin anymore. And I know it's said by faith. This whole portion speaks about the forgiveness of sins. In 22 it says it again, but now being made free from sin, having no sin anymore. A Christian has no sin anymore if he is united with Christ in the sight of God, and that counts. Not in your own sight, and not in the sight of man. But before God, having no sin anymore. What does that mean? That's the miracle of all miracles. That although I am an old sinner, I am no sinner anymore, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, like Adam in paradise before his fall. Therefore, he said to the murderer, today you will be with me in paradise again. In paradise again. You're a new creature in Christ. Secondly, you have done all what you should have done, fulfilled the law perfectly. The Bible says that's the righteousness of God given to you. That's a perfect righteousness. As if you say, Lord's Day 23, that's biblical truth, as if you had done it yourself. It's put on your account, the full obedience, the perfect obedience to the law. So I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Not in yourself. Never in yourself. Yeah, once, when I passed the valley of tears, when I passed the Jordan last ditch, I had an old aunt. Child of God, she passed away last week. She is home. A justified sinner, perfect in Christ Jesus, and paid all your debts. He paid all your debts at the cross in his blood. He says, it is finished. And the blood of Christ cleanses from much sin. No, all sin. Not one excluded. If one would remain, it's gone in Christ. All my sin cleansed. Pastor, I can't believe it. I know what you're saying. That's a gift, to believe it. To be united with Christ. And have an eternal life. Not getting it, having it. Then death is just a Passover. From time into eternity, in Christ you have eternal life. What's eternal life? To know God and Christ whom he sent. You have eternal life. So if you're in Christ Jesus, my dear congregation, I hardly can explain it. Because this is always fought. This is always thrown away. This is always questioned. That you're in Christ Jesus, without sin, paid all your debts, and have an eternal life, being a new creature. And all God's people who've got to get it, know it. That they stood when their sins were forgiven, newly in paradise, as if he had never sinned nor done any evil. But listen, by faith, united with Christ. In Him you are a new creature. Now that's first. But why then sin it? Why then that old nature? While all the sinful desires and lusts, antagonism against the law, if I'm a new creature. That's what the Bible says. Let not sin therefore dwell reign in your mortal body, in the body that will be buried, flesh, sarx. But he says, let not sin, if you are free in Christ, let not sin reign. Have his authority, his power, in your mortal body. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Do you know what happens when God gives you that new life? All the lusts of the world are attacking your soul. Luther said, therefore you're weak. Before, it wasn't a problem when you lived in sin. It didn't bother you. But now it starts bothering you, and you don't need to fight it yourself. You don't know to fight it yourself. But here is an exhortation. This is the exhortation of the Word of God. Let not sin therefore reign. You have lusts in your heart, child of God, to all sins. Don't say you haven't. Don't be a liar. You have it. And I have it. There is no sin which is not in my heart. No lusts that's not in my heart. In my mortal body, we call it sarx, the flesh. So therefore you have never to be better than the world. You can shake the hand of the world, even if he lives in sin. He says, friend, we are sinners. In myself, I've said, not in Christ, it's outside of myself. Especially, says Luther, and I say it again probably for the third week, Luther says, especially when faith in the Holy Ghost is coming and working in your soul, all the lusts of the sins are attacking you. Do you know it? I know it. Oh man. There starts the warfare. There starts the battle. In the battleground. But he says, let it not reign. Don't feed it. It might be in your heart, but he says, let it not reign. Let it not rule you, your sinful desires. That you should obey. It's in your lusts. This first. And if you get grace and you have grace, is sin not shameful? And is that exhortation of the good exhortation? If Christ died for your sins, should it reign in my and your life? Oh God, let it not reign, please. I have no strength to fight it. I've come to it. That's by the Holy Ghost. To strive. For the Spirit strives with the flesh. It makes sin painful and sorrowful. And you start begging, please, Lord, care for my mouth and my lusts. Please, stop the mouth that I shouldn't say something wrong suddenly. Or there's the battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's a real spiritual battle. And sometimes we think we have to battle with the people around us. No, the most severe battle is inside of a Christian. Therefore Paul says, I've striven the good strife. He had it. He says, out of the heart comes forth, and there he goes. But the Spirit's truth is righteousness, love and kindness, peace. Now why do you say this? Well, I know there are Christians here, truly Christians, who have fallen in sin and have no power to please him. That he says, you're clean in me, but please, please, don't harm yourself by obeying the lusts of your flesh. Why do you harm me? By obeying the lusts of your flesh. Secondly, don't use your members, head, hand, intellect, all what has God given you to be a member of you, your mind, I've said, and your hands and your feet, your love. He says, don't make them weapons. Of unrighteousness, of things that are not according to the law. He says it to the children of God. He says, don't make your members, your hands, let's stick to hands, as weapons of sin, beating up people, stealing, robbing. God's people don't do this. Listen, Paul doesn't say it without necessity. He says, don't make your members weapons of sin. Sometimes you have to bind your own hands, isn't it? For you're ready to, no? You not? Oh? You're the goody-goody? Did you never think I'll beat him up? You never thought so? I'll make a plan to defame him. Take little children, take something out of the wallet of your mother. And you know you shouldn't. Or a candy out of this little pot at home. We rave some people. With your skilly mind, selling something that's not proper. And you know it. I remember when I was a stuffers, on Monday morning they always went to the beast market, the animals market in Zwolle. And we had to do with sin, and I said, I know what you do. You're always selling your best cow on the market, isn't it? For I walked through the marketplace, and you're always saying, oh, what a good cow, what a good cow I'm selling. I said, it's probably a cow that stepped on his milk thing. He said, but you're saying it's the best cow you can buy. It's such a good cow. Instead that you say, it might be a bit a difficult cow to milk. No, Pastor, then I can sell it. Oh, all right. You make your mind as a weapon of unrighteousness. hurting others with it. That's what Paul says here. Don't do it, he says. Yeah, but if you are too good, you can't have a business. I believe God blesses you if you're good in your business. But he gives the award, the wages of sin is death. That's the other side. But yield yourself, surrender yourself unto God as those that are alive from death, and your members as instruments for righteousness, to help, to bless, to give support, to embrace those who need a hug. He says, yield yourself. He says, don't serve the wrong army. Don't serve the wrong general. By making your members instruments, weapons of unrighteousness to sin. You know what it says? There are two armies, eh? The one is the army of Christ for all those that are righteous in Him. And the other is the army of the devil. And He has both in you. For the flesh never subdues to the law of God. That's my old nature. He says, but wouldn't it be bad to go from the right army to surrender and use yourself for the wrong army. In the Second World War, in the Raiden, they had bullets that didn't fit in the weapons. You know why? Some Dutch soldiers had changed the bullets that they wouldn't fit in the weapons of the Dutch. So they tried to push. Moles, we call them. So they yield themselves to the opposite part. If you make your members as means, as weapons, as a Christian, eh? Then you yield yourself to the army of the enemy. Do you? That's treason. And listen, my dear congregation. The Bible is clear as what it is. No, the Bible don't say that of a Christian. No, don't say that of a Christian. It says it of a Christian. That you can surrender your evil works to the wrong side of the battle. Don't lean to it, says the Bible. Don't surrender to it. I have no power, Pastor. May God forbid that I ever would do it. Therefore, sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. That's wonderful. If you're under grace, you're perfect. Let sin no have dominion over you. Rule you. Listen, it doesn't say it has no dominion over you, but it exhorts you, let it not have dominion over you. They all abandoned the Lord Jesus in suffering. Peter even cursed the Lord Jesus while he was suffering. He took the stand on the other side of the army. But listen, the Lord Jesus was the same. He says, you believe in me, and in me you're still righteous. I've prayed for you. No. See, that's grace. That's grace. Now, Pastor, I know. Even when I'm preaching this, I'm struggling with you. For you can't fit it together, but that's grace. Although you're a sinner, you're no sinner anymore. In Christ Jesus. That's grace, dear friend. That's all you need. For God justifies the ungodly. Yeah, but then you're under grace. Yeah, you're under grace. But if you are under grace, why do you sin? Why do you sin against grace? Why do you sin against Christ? Why do you? Is here someone who says to me, Pastor, I have sinned against grace? I didn't take heed of this warning. I fell in sin and I continued to live in sin. Is God changed? No, he isn't. He can't. He knows our frame and weakness. And he says, repent, and I'm still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Sinning against grace is sinning against whom suffered for you, obeyed the law for you. Why do you? When I speak about law always in the catechism, I said the first use of the law is the lengthy is to cut off, to convict and condemn. The second use is to bring you to the perfect law of Christ Jesus, the fulfilled law. And the third law use is this. You're led out of Egypt. Why do you sin? You got grace. Why do you sin? Wasn't that good for you? Wasn't that good for you? Wasn't that good for you? Isn't it bad to slap the face of your mother? And to eat the hand of the father who fed you? Isn't it worse to sin against God, whose grace is there? That's evangelical repentance. Paul speaks about it. He says, is God changed? He isn't. You're changed. You're probably changed 1,000 times already. But God isn't. He's yesterday, today. And if he gives you righteousness, it's an eternal righteousness. Pastor, do you know why I struggle with you and you struggle with me? You're always counting. Yeah, kind of balance. If I do this, God does that. If I do wrong, God does wrong too. Grace is not a balance, it's a gift. A free gift according to the free grace of God. That's great. There it ends. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is here a sinner who may say in the face of God, I got grace and I sinned, but gracious God is the same unto me yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't believe it, I say it to you in the name of my Savior. He still loves you while you betrayed him. He kisses you. Do you love me, Peter? I love you, Peter. Even if you betrayed me, I prayed for you. You're mine. You're mine. And congregation, by nature, we can bring these things together. We can bring it together. We're always subtracting and distracting and making a sum. But God doesn't make a sum. He says, I pay wages for sin. But gift of grace is a gift. Free gift. Without payment. I know I'm on the edge of a sharp knife. Even in preaching. You could misuse it. But God's people don't misuse it. If we are unfaithful, He stays to be faithful. Pastor, I can't believe it. That's up to you. But He has said so. And when David committed sins and repented, Nathan returned immediately and he says, it's forgiven you. It was forgiven you. For my blood cleanses from all sin. Let's sing. 92:1-2. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life. Thy spear confront the enemy. 1 and 2, 92. the answer of the Arminians on this thing, eh? That after grace sinning, the Arminians say you can lose your salvation. And the Arminians even believe that you have to be born again, and then born again, and born again, and born again. They go 5 times to the altar to confess their sins, and then... But we believe differently, according to the scriptures. Do you know what we believe, if you believe it? The perseverance of saints. There is not a falling away of sin, sinners, that are loved by the Lord Jesus. And the perseverance of saints doesn't start with my perseverance. It's God's perseverance with me. His long-suffering. His love that's eternal. His grace that's not changing. And if that's not it, eh? We're all to hell. But it's an eternal salvation. And it was promised before they did even evil or wrong. That's great. Let them talk, man. We have a stronghold. And they may condemn us that we are anti-law. We are not. We're anti those people who say that you can lose your salvation if you're a Christian. You can't. Why not? God is faithful and not. But if you're an Arminian, you say, yeah, now yeah, it's gone again, and now it's come back again, and I'm converted again. And what a nonsense! What a nonsense. They say, make a choice for Jesus. No, congregation, he made a choice for Zacchaeus, Levi, Abram, Adam. An eternal choice. And if you ever have tasted grace, it might be dark in your life, but he is not changing and life will reoccur in due time. For he never can forsake his people. For he can forsake his word to them. Let them talk. And you have the opposite side too. That even sin can prevent us from grace. I'm such a sinner and not getting grace. Nonsense. Where he gives grace, he gives repentance and faith. And Christ is my all in all. And devil, go to him. Go to him, devil. And say to him that his word is not true. He will throw you on the ground. Faith and grace. But congregation, how is that fight? How is that strife? It's a bitter strife. And my enemies are too strong. I'm ready to fall any minute. And I have fallen too many times. But how... How? Now in the first place he says, when you served sin, what a fruit was there? 21. When you were sinners, you were free from righteousness. You hadn't even, you didn't know what's righteousness. You didn't know what's the righteousness of God. You were free of it. I've told enough about it, and I'm not going into details again. But what fruit had ye then, 21, in those things whereof you're now ashamed? You're now ashamed of your shameful sins, isn't it? That's what the Lord Jesus says about the ptochoi, the poor in spirit, the ptochoi. Now the ptochoi is a beggar. And I don't know, you might have a rude beggar and he's looking at you. But if he's a real beggar, tell me. What's the difference between a real beggar and a so-called beggar? A so-called beggar looks you in the eyes. And he presumes that you think he is a beggar. But if he's a real beggar, tell me, if he's a real beggar, do you know what he does? He doesn't dare to look at you. Not worthy of. Therefore, the publican didn't dare to lift his eyes to heaven. Didn't. He was a beggar. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. A ptolchoi is a man, is grace. A beggar, the poor in spirit, he doesn't dare to look to God. He says, I'm ashamed. And do you know what God does? If he really repents, he kisses him on his both cheek and said, come home, dear friend. Come home, my lovely one. You're my bride. I loved you from it. Oh, pastor. Oh, man. No, you're misusing the gospel. No, I'm not misusing the gospel. No, I'm not misusing it. All God's people come home and they're ashamed of grace. For you come and become ashamed because of grace. You don't dare to look into his eyes, but he lifts up your chin and he laughs at you. And he says, therefore I did the whole work myself. You're perfect to me. Oh, ye sinner, perfect to me. But Lord, it can be. No, it can be. It's a gift. But now I'm being made free from sin. Eh? Being made righteous in Christ. Free from sin. In the eyes of God. Eh? Not in your eyes. Eh? Again. Eh? In the eyes of God. Free from sin, righteous, paid, new creature. Become servants of God, which servants? Now, I have dealt several times with it in the Old Testament. First, you're a servant of the law to condemnation. But if your ear is pierced, now let's say this. You're born as a slave in a master's house in Israel. Then you are still a slave. But one day, your master or someone, you had to be a slave because you didn't pay your penalties. Then you were a slave. Now, one day, someone paid your penalties and set you free. Now, a lot of those people set free went into the world with their freedom. But the slave of God has his ear pierced. He says, Lord, can I stay with thee? Why, dear? Love thee because thou hast loved me to set me free. You know that story? Of the thousands of the United States. It's an old story, and I told you. But let me tell it again for those who never heard it. A lawyer from the south of the United States had a little slave. And he came to New York and the slaves were released, set free. And when he came back in the south, he says to his little Mary, the slave, he says, today you're free. You don't need to be a slave anymore. You're free. You know what she did? She started crying. She said, Master, can I stay with thee to serve thee out of love and grace? And that's grace. Then your ear is pierced in the Old Testament and you are a servant of love. Not of your love, but of his love. That's grace. For the love of Christ constrains you, rules you. Ultimately, at the end, the love of Christ, who loved you with an eternal love, never changed, although you changed a thousand times. He loved you from eternity to eternity. And therefore he gave his son to pay the penalty for you, to make you a new creature. For God is love. God is love. And God's people have sinned against grace and love. They're not worth it to be his child anymore. But he says, come, ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, and a cover of righteousness for your poor soul. My Christ, my son, in him. Domine Hoffman at Schiedam said it also always clearly. Do you know what's a Christian? Covered with Jesus. Covered with the Son of God, that's a Christian. Eternally. He doesn't take the cover, although you have sinned. Now you become servants of God. How? And you have your fruits, not your works. Why does it say fruits? Well, the works are my works. But fruits are the fruits of the Spirit who dwells in you and makes you fruitful. For the Spirit strives with my flesh. And who is stronger? Me? He. And makes you fruitful in due time. Listen. People today say you have always to be holy. No, due time. A fruit has first to blossom, and then a little fruit, and then when it's ripe, it falls. That's grace. Today you have to be a saint every day. We are a sinner and a saint in Christ, but there are fruits given by the Spirit to us. His fruits, long-suffering, love, care. If there is something in me of new life, it's by the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And he is stronger than me. And although I'm a sinner, he still makes me fruitful in due time. See, some people have said to me, sanctification is your own work. Now, if sanctification is my own, I'm lost. But sanctification, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit. He was holy, but he sanctifies. And two things about sanctification. He makes you sorrowing your sin and loving righteousness, and makes you fruitful in his service. Why do you say this, Pastor? It's all of grace. He doesn't bring us back to law. He doesn't say, now you're saved and you have to. He says, it's good that I go, I can send you another comforter. He comfort me and he says, I'll make you fruitful in my service. Ye sinner. Ye fallen sinner so many times, David, Abram, Abimelech, can I go through the stories? Samson, and his last fruit was the best fruit. Don't believe me? Up to you. Up to you. Go ahead with your works. For the wages of sin, your works by your own works are sin. And God pays wages. He says, if you want to work, I pay your wages. What's the wages for sin? Death. Yeah, but now I have to work. No, no. No. God works in you. Willing and working. No? Yeah. Willing and working. Even willing and working. For the gift of God. It's a gift. And I got it with my hands like this. Some people have it in their hands and carry it. I got it, says Luther Thaw. I got it. He put it in my heart. And he never takes it away. It's a gift. It's in Christ. Christ is the gift of the Father. And the gift of God. God gives. It's a gift. And I tell you the same thing. If you don't want to have it and God wants to give it, he gives it and you will have it. You think that you have to be prepared to receive? No, no. Saul didn't want to have it. He got it anyways. Isn't it? They preach today to be prepared for grace. And I'm preaching. And if you don't want to listen to it anymore, it's up to you. But I have to preach grace when people are not prepared for it. Not ready for it. Gone and lost. For enemies will be reconciled unto God. And if God starts to work in your heart, you are to be a enemy. Don't come anymore, it's up to you, man. If you think you're a friend and never been an enemy, forget all about it. The ungodly is justified. And what is the gift of God? It's eternal life. What's eternal life? Being brought back into communion with the Father through the Son. For God is my life and my light. The Son has to have light in him, life in himself, and he gives light, life. For he gives the life as a divine second person of the Trinity. Out of the life of God, and that the application of that life is in the Holy Ghost. My dear congregation, if you want to work, you've got your pennies. That's how. If you think you have to do a little work for grace, you're going down. I have to be sharp as a knife today. For the flesh never subdues the law, cannot surrender. But if all is forsaken and gone, God gives you what you don't have. And he makes you what you don't are. And he brings you where you never would expect to come, in life eternal. Holy, we'll see him like he is. And he'll see me in himself as a new creature. Buried the body of sin and evil in the sepulchre of Jesus. Been delivered from this body of sin. Being brought to eternal life in him. Oh, my dear congregation, young people, you've heard the gospel today. And you're young, huh? You're at school, doing some work. But my dear boy, please, back first to be of Jesus. Back it, please. Bag it. I don't want to bag it, Pastor. No. Why not? What do you have against the Lord? Tell me. What do you have against the Lord, dear boy? What do you have against him? Did he mistreat you? Has he dealt falsely with you? What do you have against him? And if God is for us, who will be against us, even of myself? If God is for me, I can hinder any grace. I can't hinder my own salvation. May God have his glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I don't know what to say. I'm sinful. Grace is testifying against me, but grace is for me too, and I don't know. I know there are people here who suppose that thou art not gracious, that their sins may oppose thy gracious acts, and they can't. It's a gift. Without condition, without price and money, please, Lord, give it to those who don't have any money anymore and forsaken everything. And reassure them, we have sung it, when they have tasted it before. Please, Lord, have mercy upon us. Please, please, Lord, please. We don't dare to look up, but look down into us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's sing lastly 423, the sixth stanza. 423. Sixth stanza. Ye lovers of the Lord, to him all praise accord, rejoice in your confession, and hate all base transgression. Jehovah keepeth well the saints in Israel. He frees them from the snare that wicked men prepare, and make them safely dwell. The sixth stanza, 423. Did you make a home in peace to your houses, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.